Welcome to the Booktopia podcast. I'm John Purcell, and I'm here with Ben Hunter. And we're sitting across from Matt Stanton, who has just come in to talk about his new book, Funny Kid for President. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm very excited.
I've fanboyed before about you and your Fart Monster books that you did with Tim Miller. This is completely different, but this is something that lines up with the initial readers, not the 40-year-old men like me, but the initial readers of the Fart Monster, who were probably around four or something when they first read the Fart Monster, and are now turning kind of eight-ish or seven or eight-ish, and a perfect lineup for Funny Kid for President.
Exactly. So, when Tim and I first set out to work on Fart Monster, we sort of picked an ideal reader that was going to help us to sort of navigate the various creative decisions that you make along the way. And so, for us, that was a four-year-old boy. Now, obviously, the book is read more widely than that, and certainly by girls and boys, but that was sort of the person, the reader that we picked in our mind to help us sort of make the decisions that we did. So what's really nice about this is I'd always imagined that I would write middle grade. Like, that's always where I wanted to head. And the timing means that those kids that first fell in love with Fart Monster right at the beginning, and that book still sells really well every week, but right there at the beginning, that will time in perfectly with sort of the audience that will grow into Funny Kid. And
Funny Kid for President is a novel. It's got pictures in it, so it's perfect for reluctant readers, but also readers in a hurry, readers like a bit of a giggle. If you want to sort of shut kids up in the back of the car if you're going on a long trip kind of book.
Yeah.
But I think the great freedom you had with this is you were doing everything, the design, the illustrations, and the writing.
Yeah. So I wanted to write my whole life. So my mum has a school project that I did when I was seven in year two, where I said we had to do a project on ourselves, and where I said I wanted to be a writer when I grew up. That's something I've always wanted to do. I've always written while being at school, while being at uni, and while working. But my professional life has been spent in book design. So working as a book designer, designing book covers, laying out cookbooks, and working on children's picture books. And so pulling together, this is a real opportunity of sort of pulling together writing, illustrating, which I've also always loved. They were sort of the two things that I was doing all the time, with designing, with really building the book, and that gives you that opens up a whole lot of creative opportunities. My goal very much with Funny Kid is to make every page as funny as I can. So I'm looking for the humor on every page, and this gives me three different toolboxes to dip into in order to,
because you break the rules. Like, the book starts before it starts.
Exactly. So Max, the Funny Kid, starts talking to us in speech bubble form, in sort of comic form almost, from the very first page that you open the book, and he's talking to the reader about the fact that they've opened the book, and you get to play with that before you even get to, you know, the traditional title page or the copyright page or anything like that. So really wanting to pull kids through the book from the minute they open that cover.
With writing comedy, I mean, it's one of those things where you're in your, I assume, grim, dark room where you writers go to write with no friends and all that sort of stuff. How do you know when you're being funny? How do you know? Like, do you just go, like, do you break out laughing yourself, or do you have someone to test it on?
Well, that's a great question with a sad answer. So, I mean, yes, to a degree. You're the first reader of everything that you write, so it has to make me laugh, and often what makes you laugh one day is not the thing that makes you laugh when you come back to it the next morning. So you're constantly refining. I've found this a real process of writing over what you've already written multiple times, just the searching for a way to make it a little funnier. You know, when they have sitcoms and comedy shows on TV, they have writers' rooms, like they have a team of writers. But this sort of early stage, you're doing it yourself. So finding, coming back to it over and over again is really helpful, pushing for funnier, funnier, funnier. But the other side of it is that I spend a lot of time in schools. So I spend a lot of time with kids. I've just finished the Sydney Writers Festival. I did the School Days program with them. So that's 6,000 kids across the week, including 2,000 in Town Hall in one hit, which was fun. But kids don't laugh politely. Kids, if that's not funny, they just won't laugh. Mm. Or worse, they'll boo. So this is a funny story in its own right. So part of the Sydney Writers Festival, you're doing these theatre events. Schools bus in for the day into town halls and you do these events with mostly sort of 900, 1,000 kids each day. And I do this moment in my sort of the 1 hour that you're with them, where I tell them that I can't possibly say where I get my ideas from. That is the most common question any, certainly children's author gets asked, or where do you get your ideas from?
What a dodge.
and I tell them that I couldn't possibly give away that secret. And normally the response I get is like, oh, come on, we won't tell. And so you have this fun little interaction and then I obviously, we go on. But this particular day, 900 kids booed me. Like, that was their response. And it was wonderful. Like, it was fun and we played with it and I asked whether they boo their parents at home and does that normally get them what they want? Like, we had fun with it. But I did have a split sort of moment there of like, man, this, if this was real, like if I was a politician and this was an audience and they were like, this is seriously intense. I can't remember what we were talking about before that.
It was more to do with just how do you actually work out, like, do you
test the material?
Do you yell out from the windows and hope people laugh in the street or what?
I mean, there's a few people that whose opinions I really trust, and certainly my publisher and editor at HarperCollins that I work with really closely are really good at that. And we've also, with Funny Kid, we've been working with a US editor because it's publishing from HarperCollins US as well. So they've been working on it too. So that's really helpful. Certainly my wife, Beck, who I write a series of picture books with as well, she reads it for me. My kids are still a little bit too young. But then outside of that, it's school visits. So it's...
So you test jokes.
Yeah, it's totally. Yeah. Because they don't give you a polite laugh. So you know pretty transparently whether you're hitting the right tone, whether the sort of banter is working and things like that. So yeah.
Do you get to hear them just doing their thing? Like are there times before the show begins where you can overhear the people in the front row just having a bit of a giggle?
Totally. And, you know, one of the things about Funny Kid is, like, Funny Kid is about the class clown. So Max is the class clown. And when I visit schools, I love the class clown. There's one in every classroom, and sometimes more than one. And often they're the kid that is getting told to be quiet. They're getting told, you know, that they're being disruptive, and sometimes they are being disruptive. But I have a real, like, I love the class clown because here I am in a classroom teaching them about creativity, teaching them about storytelling and jokes. Jokes are storytelling in different forms. And so we're talking about this, we're talking about creativity and not going to the first and most obvious answer. And often it's the class clown that has the most natural grasp of this concept, almost better than anybody in the room sometimes.
And because everyone's being told to be quiet.
Yeah, and I get why, from because you've got to teach for the whole room. But the class clown is entertaining their audience, and they've got a circle of sort of five or six of their peers that are sitting around them, and they're looking to the Class Clown to see sort of, are they going to make them laugh? And so the pressure, like, the Class Clown is on all the time. And
is there something you're trying to tell us? Something about your own past? Do you want to? Because Ben and I are here for you.
No one cares about the Class Clown. I get really excited, actually, and they form a lot of inspiration for me because they're often really funny, like really genuinely funny, and they often want to engage, especially as the guest in the classroom, because I'm obviously not their classroom teacher, so they're engaging with you, and I have a lot of respect for that.
Can you make use of them? Are they often, when you see one of these kids, are they able to sort of join in with what you're doing, or are they?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, my primary goal going into a classroom is, or doing these bigger kids events, is to give kids a really positive, fun experience with books.
Yeah.
Like, that's goal number one. Like, if I can teach them something about story structure, if I can teach them something about how to actually create a character or something like that, then great, and we do that. Excuse me. But number one goal, if they can have a really fun experience with me, with a book, then, like, where will they go for more of that? They'll go to more books.
Yeah.
And so that's the goal. So most of that classroom session is about the experience that we're all having together. And that means including the jokester in the room.
Yeah.
Because that might actually take us somewhere that we didn't think we were going to go. And that's creativity. Like, that's what I'm seeking to do all the time.
So with your playfulness with texts, and I don't want to get all deep and meaningful postmodern all that crap, but the books you do with your wife are really kind of breaking the mold kind of picture books. Can you talk about a bit about those? Because you've got the fart monster ones appeal to a particular part of the brain, and then there's these other books which come in that are sort of turn it on its head.
Yes. Yeah, so that series, we call that series The Books That Drive Kids Crazy. So the first one is This Is a Ball. The second one is Did You Take the Beef from My Ook? And the third one, which came out this year, is called The Red Book, which is purple. So the whole vision behind those books was, could we help adults in their play space with kids? So as we started to have children, and a lot of our peers started to have children, a conversation we found ourselves in a lot was suddenly a young child enters your life and you have to learn how to play all over again because you haven't played like a young kid since you were a young kid. So, and that's actually not an easy thing necessarily to do. And it also, one of the things I learned as a dad, and I'm still learning, is that what it requires of me is a degree of humility, like a degree of, like, if I'm playing with my kids or other people, like friends of my kids, and their parents are in the room, then I might, in order to play really well with them, I might need to embarrass myself in front of the other adults in the room. Mm-hmm. And am I prepared to do that? Yeah. Am I prepared to get down on the floor where they are and enter into their space? And so we feel quite passionate about that, and have spent a lot of time talking and thinking about that. And so the idea with those books was, could you take the device of the book, like the structure of a book, and rather than telling a story necessarily, could you provide a script for the adult where if they just read the words on the page, you could read them as straight as you wanted to, the child brings the game.
Yep.
So the first book, This Is a Ball, based on a game that we used to play with our goddaughter Jasmine. We'd see her, she'd be wearing a t-shirt that would have a cat on it, and we'd say, "Hi Jazz, it's so nice to see you. I love your t-shirt, that's a really cute dog." And she can't not respond to that. And so she says, no, no, Matt, it's not a dog, it's a cat. I'm like, I'm sorry, Jazz, it's got two eyes. Dogs have two eyes. Whenever I tell this story, I get mixed up. But you get the idea. Yeah. So you play, you play with being the adult who is incorrect.
Yeah.
Because that never happens to a kid.
Yeah.
Kids are being told all the time that the adult is correct and that they are wrong. And so when they find themselves in a situation where they know that they are right and they know that the grown-up is wrong, then it creates both this like sort of frustration that they're compelled to express, but also a lot of fun because they like they just love it. Like it's this wonderful game to play. And so we sort of looked at the book and went, could we take that game and package it in a book so that, you know, the adult reads, this is a ball and there's a picture of a box. You can't, that like the child cannot not respond to that.
Yeah.
And so now you're playing, now you're interacting. And the other books explore similar ideas. So the first book, This Is a Ball, is very much about perception. So showing one thing and saying it's something else. The second book is all about pronunciation. So what happens when you remove one letter all the way throughout the book and then you're saying it wrong. And then the third one, the red book, is all about persuasion. You're trying to convince a child that everything in this book is red. And in order for them to argue back, they have to try and persuade you back. And so for schools that spend a lot of time in persuasive texts, Beck, my wife, is a primary school teacher, and so we spent a lot of time thinking about that space.
So you've got a primary school teacher as a wife, have you? Does that allow you to seed in a couple of the early copies of Funny Kid and get some responses? Was there a test audience there?
A little bit. Because we have two young kids at the moment, Beck's not working in schools currently. So that part of the strategy fell down a little. But thinking about the educational aspects of our books and how to make them useful in a classroom.
So Funny Kid, is there, I mean, as a kid, I really don't want to be learning when I'm reading a book.
Yep.
Am I getting stuff that I don't want to have, like a bit of spinach mixed in with my bolognese?
Well, so with Funny Kid, I had this moment as an 11-year-old where and this is where the genesis of the idea of Funny Kid comes from. As an 11-year-old, Max is 11 in the book, you're trying to sort of work out where you fit in. And so here I am as an 11-year-old. I'm not the smartest kid in the class. I'm pretty smart, but I'm not the smartest kid. I'm okay at sport, but I'm not the fastest runner. I was always short, but I wasn't quite the shortest, and I certainly wasn't the tallest. And so you're going through this, like, what am I? And where do I fit? And at the same time, you've really sort of got social groups really starting to form just before high school there. And so you are trying to, you've got all of those identity questions. And I loved to write, but, like, so what? Anyway, we had this project to do in class where you had to write a story, and so I just decided that I was going to make it as funny as I could, just as a little exercise for myself. And so I tried to make this story as funny as I could make it, gave it to my teacher. My teacher laughed when she liked it. She gave it to someone else who it ends up in the principal's office, who really enjoyed it and thought, Matt should read that out at school assembly.
Did they boo?
But that was my fear. Like, no one wants to be the teacher's show and tell, right? So here I am as an 11-year-old who's already sort of insecure and can't work out where they fit in. Now I've got to read my homework.
In front of all the older kids.
Exactly.
Well.
Oh, so
what an evil principal. Yes. That's the worst punishment.
So I'm standing there. I can put myself back in those shoes really easily. I've got my piece of paper in front of me. I don't dare look up. I read from my story from this piece of paper. And kids start to laugh. And, you know, just a couple of pockets. But as it goes along, really a decent proportion of the assembly is laughing. And I have this moment of like, whoa, like what is this? Like, if you can make your friends laugh, if you can bring joy or happiness, it's like that's the thing that unites all of us. We all love to laugh. And so I then wanted to explore that, and that became my thing a little bit. Like, so I may not fit into this group or this group or this group, but I can make any of them laugh. Yeah. Like, that sort of supersedes all of that. And so, so if there's something to learn in the Funny Kid books, I want to give kids tools to be funny.
Yeah.
To help them be funny. Because it is all in that same creative space. And I think it's a really, really interesting thing. And you don't have humor class at school.
No, that's crazy, isn't it?
But it's a pretty good skill to learn. And I find that really interesting. So, but it's pretty, there's not a like how to be funny chapter.
Yeah.
Like it's we're going to go on the story with Max as Max learns to be the funny kid.
I was going to ask you, is this the beginning of a series? Have you sort of in your mind got a sense of how many books will be in the series, or just go until you?
Well, we're certainly doing three to start with. So, yeah. And we'll do them they're coming out every 6 months. So we'll basically go July, January, July. But if it's connecting, we'll keep going, because we've got we've got joke books and ideas around expanding that world. Because I think I'm loving spending time with these characters and being back in primary school, and so I'll hang out here as long as people will let me.
Matt, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you for having me. It's been really fun.
If you've got kids at home, or you have kids that live next door, or anyone you want to give a great present to, and you love to hear them laugh, then Funny Kid for President by Matt Stanton is the book you need to get. And you can get that at booktopia.com.au right now.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.